Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Kate.
And today's cast is Rolling Out the Trinity, Updated, Part 1 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I implement one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation? Can I start doing feedback right away? How do I actually introduce each of the tools in the Trinity?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Ever wish you could have personalized management guidance any time of day? We get it. But even we need to sleep. That's why we created something special for you. Introducing the only AI chatbot trained exclusively on Manager Tools content, just like our podcasts, which were the first management guides on iTunes 18 years ago. Our chatbot is a resource you can trust and is available 24/7. With a personal license, you can get access to this groundbreaking tool. It adheres to our strict credo. If the chatbot can't confidently provide you the right answers, it won't guess. It'll simply advise you to contact us. We're making management easier, one query at a time. Don't just rely on any internet guidance. Trust the source that's been guiding managers successfully for nearly 2 decades. Get your personal license today and meet your new virtual mentor. Late night management problems just got easier. Visit us today on manager-tools.com for more information. Kate, we're here to talk about a topic that you and I and Amanda and Mark and the people over here at Manager Tools talk about a lot in our conferences when we're talking about the EMC. Exactly. And folks, we're here to talk today about rolling out the Trinity. We've been asked thousands of questions about how to best put into practice the Manager Tools Trinity, that is one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation. And back in the olden days, when we first taught the tools individually.
We weren't like, here for that.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't
well,
here for that.
Well, okay, like, I was. But.
Right, pre-us.
We were young whippersnappers.
Then. Yeah, exactly. If you're familiar with Manager Tools, the evolution of Manager Tools, pre-Manager Tools, Horstman and Company, that kind of stuff, what you'll know is that we started as a management consulting firm, which meant that we didn't teach all of the tools to everyone all at once. The only way you could learn them initially anyway is from us and one at a time. So they got rolled out in a way, one at a time by us. Exactly. Yeah, by us. Okay, it looks like you guys are ready for feedback. Let's move into feedback now. And ultimately, as you know, we became Manager Tools at some point. And then we started to see that there were impacts to people rushing through what should have been a staged rollout.
Yeah, because managers who we had taught started telling other managers about the tools because people would notice that things were going well for a specific manager. And a colleague would say, you know, what are you doing? Okay, cool. Seems to be working. The manager doing the Trinity would share with another manager. And when they share, of course, they share it all at once.
Yeah, because they don't know why they didn't learn everything all at once. They just know that they didn't and started doing them.
Right. So other managers started implementing all the tools at once. And it, full disaster.
Full disaster.
Mm-hmm. Full disaster. Behavioral change is hard, y'all. So most of us can only learn one new significant skill at a time, which also, because it's human, applies to our directs. They're learning along with us. And when you have a group, change is slower than it is for one person.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to learn 2 or 3 or even, gosh, 4, which is how many pieces our Trinity has, that's the kind of math that is why they don't let me be an engineer anymore, for the record. Learning 4 new significant skills at the same time is impossible. And we're not saying you couldn't do it yourself in your own office or in your own life or whatever. We're saying, based on our early results, which we're considering essentially not a form of testing, rather an experience that we went through, that experience shows us doing all of these at once is not going to work out.
Yeah. For multiple reasons. I mean, lack of trust, change is hard. Individuals really, really don't like when their managers are changing how they manage them. There's a bunch of things that kind of play into
it. Yeah. Totally logical, normal things. And because of that experience, we did start testing different ways to roll out the Manager Tools Trinity. Took us a couple of years. We figured out, though, the right timing for each tool and the steps needed to introduce each one, which led to the Manager Tools Trinity rollout, which is what we're here to talk about today.
Exactly.
Step by step, it has a number of parts.
It's a long one. This is a long one.
Yeah.
All right. So our outline for our cast. First, the Trinity is designed to work together. Start with one-on-ones, conduct one-on-ones for 12 weeks. After 12 weeks of one-on-ones, announce the feedback model in a staff meeting. Give positive feedback to top performers first. After 3 to 4 weeks, add positive feedback to the rest of your team. After 6 to 8 more weeks, add negative feedback for top performers. And then, what about a top performer asking for negative feedback? Following 8 weeks of positive and negative feedback, roll out coaching slowly. And ultimately, this rollout plan works in a number of situations. It can and does work a la carte, but there are dangers. So it's 11 parts, 11 parts in total.
Whew. So bear with us, y'all. We're going to be here for a while.
And I might step in here and mention Kate. Actually, folks that are listening to us, that have been listening to Kate and I for years, talking about Trinity rollout at our different various events, at our EMCs, on-site with clients, and at public venues. I mean, we've been talking about this for years. If you've been in one of those events and you heard the outline I just went through, you might notice it differs slightly from what we generally talk about when we're teaching in public.
When we're with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we're actually with you, exactly. And folks, the model we discuss in the podcast is, as Kate and I were talking about this morning, the belt and suspenders approach. Because when we're with you, you can ask us questions.
Yeah.
When we're with you, you can say, well, what about this and this and that? And we can learn about you and your specific situations. And it's much, much different than we're talking to millions of people. And we have no idea what your situation is. So this is belt and suspenders because we don't know you. Now, we'd love to know you if you want to come to a public event and we can help design this a little bit more specifically for you. But yes, if it differs from what you've heard us say before, that's why.
Yep. All right. Let's start with the Trinity is designed to work together. At the beginning, which I remember parts of this. We really didn't connect all the tools.
Mm-hmm.
When we were first developing the tools in the Trinity before manager tools, managers rolled them out as we trained them one at a time, genuinely. And the same thing, you know, this is Mark with Horseman & Company doing this, and it's a bit more like being at a public event. It's very akin to being at a client event, a private event, where we can see what's happening on the ground. Sometimes your directs are also in the room if we're training you in those situations. So we have a gauge on how's it going, what's up, how is the progression affecting the team. Because these got rolled out organically, client managers whom we were hired to train could only roll them out as they were trained.
Didn't even know about the other ones or how to do them, frankly. So they couldn't have done them sooner.
So it was just different. The rollout happened as a function of their training over time. And once they were available all at once via listening, right? Mm-hmm. Early listens to Manager Tools podcast caused people to learn about them all at once.
Yeah.
And then they thought, oh gosh, okay, well, here's a bunch of stuff. I'll try all of it. Totally natural, normal. And we discovered, hey, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we reverse engineered the Trinity rollout timeline, allowing managers to deliver the tools one at a time based on the timings we find work best.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll say later, you can use the Trinity one part at a time and you will get noticeably better results if you implement it as part of a larger plan about you and your team's development and improvement. That's the genesis of this cast. We're going all the way back into the archives, pulling out guidance that came about organically from the situations we saw managers experience. We're just going to explain today, and as you listen, how to link them all together over time, because they really do work best all together.
Yeah.
And if you've implemented it, you may have had an experience where, because one-on-ones is so valuable, because each piece brings a new increase in your ability to get things done and your trust with your team and that kind of stuff, you find, I think, you can probably remember like the benefits you got, the uptick. I certainly do. I certainly remember the changes in the team that happened. So even if you roll it out slowly, because I know some people listening maybe are like us and they value speed.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. Impatient people.
Right. Yeah,
we generally tend to want to move faster.
Right. Just know that you do at each step get an increase, and that increase often feels so big. Sometimes managers get stalled because it, like, the first increase is so big that the second seems almost like you forget. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, there's more. There's more. So we start with one-on-ones.
Exactly. We start with one-on-ones. So if you're only just joining us here at Manager Tools, you can appreciate this. But if there's one thing everybody should be tired of us saying by now, one-on-ones are the most important manager tool that exists, the single most important managerial behavior. And starting to do one-on-ones is the single best use of any manager's time. One-on-ones. Yeah. In terms of the trinity itself, when we think one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, folks, one-on-ones and one-on-ones by itself is worth 40% of all of it. It's kind of a big deal.
It really is.
To Kate's point, it allows for that step change improvement and a noticeable improvement in your team's functioning that you can tell is a direct result of one-on-ones. It doesn't happen immediately, though. A la the rollout, it takes some time to build trust, to have a better relationship, all of those kinds of things. It takes some time for you to absorb weekly meetings with every single person on your team in your calendar if you haven't been doing that before. But once it starts rolling, it's really successful. Really successful.
You know, what's interesting about it, I always think about the fact that managers already go to a lot of meetings. To a certain extent, the burden of behavioral change is a little bit lower for one-on-ones because you're already used to going to meetings. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that sometimes there is a bit of, I always feel it's the overcoming of the static friction of what, how sure. things used to be.
Going from so it's nothing not to, say to that, something is harder yeah. than continuing.
Yeah, zero to one is the biggest change. I always think that one-on-ones are logistically more simple for us to accomplish, to implement. And then there is still some growing pains around it. There's some people who don't want to do it. There's some people who talk a lot. There's some people who don't talk yeah. that much, et cetera. The thing is, it still is so effective that even though it can be uncomfortable for a little bit, you immediately feel with some people at least, and it kind of increases as you go along to get to everybody at some point, this reduction in friction, this ease, the smoothing mm-hmm. of the way forward. And that's my own aside. The other thing that's really important here is Horstman's law of organizational communication. It's definitely at work in the one-on-one process, and it's definitely at work in this podcast. Mm-hmm. If you say something 7 times, only half of your people will say that they have heard it even once. And all that really reflects is that it takes time to get messages out, to get your message out. And communicating new ideas downwards comes with a great deal of organizational sandpaper yeah. or, again, static friction. But we'll never get tired of saying this thing, which we are trying to say enough times that half of our audience will report having yeah, heard exactly. it once. One-on-ones are the best thing managers can do.
Full stop. Yep. That's it. That's everything, folks. We're not going to teach in this podcast, even though we've rave reviews for one-on-ones over here. We're not going to teach you the details of Manager Tools one-on-ones in this guidance. There's a full series of one-on-ones podcasts that you can mm-hmm. listen to learn more about the meetings themselves. Rather,
yeah, recently updated.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Recently updated for sure. And what we're going to talk about today really is the rolling out of them, the putting in practice of the meetings themselves. So how to do it and how they fit in with the rest of the parts of the Manager Tools Trinity. And step number one is sending an email, essentially. Yep. Now, for those of you who are new to our community and you're unfamiliar with the downloadable forms cabinet, we would suggest you go to the downloadable forms section of the Manager Tools website. You can go there and download text of the email we recommend you send your directs. Now, folks, the reason we wrote the email for you, to be clear, it's not 100% perfect for all of the people listening to this podcast today. It's absolutely not. But rather than you have to create one from scratch, all of you have to create one from scratch, we just essentially gave you a really good place to start. And that email describes to your directs what you're going to do and how it's going to work in the beginning. It lays out one-on-ones, what they are, and why you're planning on doing them. Just simple, basic information. Again, please do customize it. We wrote it. It needs to sound like it's coming from you, not like you copy-pasted it into your email. So, yeah.
Yeah, choose different words, change the sentence structure. Mm-hmm. Also, before you send out the email, you'll need to figure out which times in your calendar on a recurring basis you're going to make available for them to choose from. So again, all this comes from our learning, y'all. A great deal of this guidance is meant to reduce the churn around scheduling that can occur when you have multiple directs. So here's what you do. Take the number of directs you have, multiply it by 1.5. That's the number of time slots you need to make available in the email. If you have 10 directs, that makes out to 15 half-hour time slots, which is 7.5 hours. Now, look, y'all, they're not going to take up all those time slots. You're going to get, if we're doing 10 directs and 15 time slots, you're going to get 5 of them back. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that. So now, look at your calendar. 3, 4, 5 weeks out, not this week, not next week, 3 weeks from now, and even 4 if you need to, get to a place where what's on your calendar is just the structure of your week, the standing meetings.
Yeah, the recurrences, the themes generally.
Yeah. And when you get there, by the way, look at it. Ask yourself, is this what I want it to look like? And the meetings you have purview over, change them. Listen to the Calendar Soup podcast. Figure out what you want your week to look like. Restructure it. Good. 3, 4, 5 weeks out, look for those number of time slots. Again, 6 directs is 9, 10 directs is 15. Time slots that work for you, because they're going to still have the choice in there.
Mm-hmm. Hence the 15 when there are only 10 people.
Exactly. Because if you have 10 people and you gave them 10, guess what? The last person gets the last slot and they're not going to take that. It's not going to work for them.
It's
the odds of that being perfect.
And...
Yep. Reduction of churn. So look at your time options. Don't choose times right before or after your boss's staff meeting or their one-on-one with you. Don't offer times before or after your staff meeting. Don't schedule your MT03s on the day you have to leave early to pick your kids up from school. Consider your own schedule here.
Yeah, what works for you. This is about what works for you. Because again, they're going to have choices.
They get to pick what works for them from the list of stuff that works for you.
Yeah, exactly. And let's remember, there are 10 of them. They each have 30 minutes in their calendar. You have 10 30-minute slots. So if somebody's calendar, we should be sensitive to, in this case, it is really your calendar that requires a little sensitivity. And folks, note, we generally recommend you don't do one-on-ones on Monday morning. Let people come back to work from the weekend and get their week started before putting them immediately into meetings. Also, pro tip, if they're ever going to come unprepared for a one-on-one, it's going to be a one-on-one on Monday morning. So just avoid Monday morning. And just also, this rule applies to basically all the meetings. You should know, stop scheduling meetings on Monday morning. No one wants to have meetings with you on Monday morning.
No one wants to have any meetings on Monday morning.
Exactly, right? We're just trying to get caught up. We're just trying to get back into it. Monday mornings, people are at their slowest. Don't slow people down. It's not good.
Yeah. Double whammy. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
We also don't recommend Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, if for no other reason, then if there's a late conflict, what are you going to do with it?
And of course, there are other reasons because people take Friday afternoon off. That's the time when they're least likely to be paying attention to their calendar.
Right. They're trying to tie up loose ends, get out of the office. Don't slow people who are trying to get out of the office down either.
Also, a lot of people in certain industries have every other Friday off.
It's just, totally.
Friday afternoon is not good.
Yeah.
You have nowhere to reschedule And also, you might have to reschedule because people aren't around.
Yeah. Front load the week. Just kind of front load the week. If you're thinking to yourself, are mornings better? Are afternoons better? Folks, if you got 10 one-on-ones to put in your calendar, you don't have time to worry about whether mornings or afternoons are better.
Yeah.
Now, you might personally only have two directs and you have a schedule that allows for two one-on-ones a week and you and your directs are fresher in the mornings and you want to do them in the morning and that's great for you. But there's no general theme that can be given to all the people around mornings, afternoons, those kinds of things, just because our schedules vary, our number of directs vary so wildly.
Yeah. And the data suggests what day of the week, what time doesn't matter. So there's that. Again, we offer 1.5 times when we're sending out this email so that you don't make the last person choose the last option. We want to give them choice. We also, though, are not trying to let them have first choice.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say, oh, yeah, you guys just pick from my calendar. No, that'll be a huge mess. You get to have some choices. They get to have some choices. It's your calendar we have to protect here because you're going to be doing all the one-on-ones. As Sarah said, you have 10 and they have one.
Yeah.
You get to have some choice because this is going to be a great deal of your time, whereas comparably, it's much less of their time. So you put together the email, given our content that we've created for you, edit, add the time slots, looking out a few weeks. By the way, y'all, the reason we recommend looking out a few weeks is because your calendar's full this week.
And next.
And it's likely pretty getting full next week, right? Depending on what day of the week you're listening to this. It's out a couple of weeks that most professionals' calendars have some free time. And if you haven't been doing this for a really long time, then 4 weeks won't kill you.
Right.
If you have to look out 4 weeks, let's say you have to go five because you have a vacation in there. Y'all, don't try to start this before your vacation. Let's understand, especially depending on where you are in your career. I had this conversation with someone at a public conference because I said something like, hey, don't rush. And he said, why would I rush? I said, some people feel that this is slow and they trust us. They want to go quickly. They believe in it. They want to get it in place. Some people value speed. And he said, Kate, looking at this, you're suggesting I have to do like 30 years of one-on-ones. And I was like, well, not everybody in the room has 30 more years. And yes.
You're right.
Yeah, I am. He's like, well, then why would I rush?
Then why would I rush?
Yeah, okay. Right? Exactly. So just think to yourself, hey, 4 weeks isn't going to kill anybody.
Yeah. Also, you can appease yourself with the information that if you try and do one-on-ones with all your folks next week or the week after, you're going to get a lot more pushback. That's one of the reasons it's such a benefit to push it out a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month. Because while your folks could say of next week, oh, boss, we don't have time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time. And they could get really pushy about whether or not they have time for the one-on-one. They have many fewer legs to stand on when you're looking at their calendar a month from now. You're like,
yeah,
but you do have time. Your calendar
What's
is
on there?
Super wide open. There's basically nothing on there. So we're good. So yes, that's why we say just push it out a few weeks. Again, static friction. Get out ahead of the friction, if nothing else.
Yeah,
totally. So you've got your email, the bulk of it, plus the times. And at the bottom, we would suggest you ask everyone to reply all. Now, again, Kate mentioned this earlier. A lot of this was created to decrease the amount of back and forth admin work that it takes to set these things up. By asking everyone to reply all with the time they choose, when an individual takes a time, I have Tuesday at 2, everyone else realizes Tuesday at 2 is now gone. And when people start to see those available times disappearing quickly right before their eyes, responses start to happen from more people on your team even more quickly because they realize the earlier they choose, the more options they have. And if they wait till the end, they're going to be stuck with the things that are left. And then ultimately, once you get them all back, right, all 10 people have replied, now you can pull them all together, type it up in a schedule, and send it out to everyone so that everyone knows when everyone else's one-on-ones are during the week.
And we should mention, you're probably going to have one person, not respond, respond with questions, delay with stuff that ultimately doesn't matter. That's fine. Don't make a big deal of it. If only one person doesn't reply, really you have two choices. Send a mail to your directs showing the schedule minus that one direct. And by the way, in that email, you must indicate that the direct hasn't been scheduled yet. Uh-huh. If you leave them off, it will be much, much worse. Things that people will say behind the scenes will be
yeah. If you don't fraught. Tell them why it's happening, they'll make up a reason and it probably won't be a good one.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I have talked about this in the past where we like to assume positive intent for people we're close with. Bosses rarely get the assumption of positive intent, especially in the organization. You know, people in general, people assume if something changed, it's because somebody got in trouble.
Yeah.
So we miss out on that.
Why is she micromanaging us now?
Ooh.
that's usually the one we hear from one-on-ones. Why are we being micromanaged now?
And I would suggest that bleeds over into this, where if they're not going to just assume, oh, that person's not scheduled.
Yeah, exactly. Yet. They mustn't have responded. No, they're going to be like,
they can send the email out with an asterisk. Mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Yeah, that's and that's the churn.
Fired? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Why don't they do one-on-ones? Ooh.
Yeah. Are they above it? All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Indicate that the status of that person is just unscheduled. That's one choice. Second choice, just schedule that person. Maybe you're thinking, okay, that seems kind of heavy-handed. These meetings are about the direct. Shouldn't we be more accommodating? The answer is no. We're only asking for 30 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
For a direct who works, it's not. This is my favorite argument when people sometimes when people argue with stuff that's like really logical and they come to you, I have this like little, like I always imagine myself like rubbing my paws together and smiling with my teeth. It's like, come at me. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to settle this argument quickly. People say, oh, this is a lot of my time. A, nice try. It's a lot of my time.
Yeah, it is.
It's much less of theirs. Additionally, let's do the math. Because that's my favorite thing. It's always technical people or engineers. Oh, this is a lot of my time. Dude, if you work 50 hours a week, this is 1% of the week. And I would suggest that you spend more than 1% of your week getting coffee.
Oh, yeah, don't absolutely.
Don't even try to tell me, oh, I'm so efficient. I know where every 1% of my week goes. Frankly, you spend 1% of your week doing things that aren't of value to me, whereas this is value. And it's unreasonable that your direct would suggest, oh, I don't have time for that. Not only because it's 1%, but because you're going to do, you're going to spend a whole, honestly, yes. And okay, it's a whole day out of your week. It's a whole day. It's never going to be exactly 7.5 hours. You have 10 directs, that's 7.5 hours. It's never going to be, or no, it's 10 directs is only 5, but it's still never going to be that, right? It's going to be 3/4 of a day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a
chunk
lot
of time.
Yeah. And I know where I can tell you where 3/4 of my day goes.
Yeah. I could tell you what I could do with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? 3/4 of a day and a laptop, I could rule the world.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So just schedule them.
Just schedule them. Exactly. Send it out. I assure you. I assure you. If you just give them a time and send it out, even though they've been delaying and dragging their feet for however long it's taken, a day, they will immediately respond back. And there you go. Now you can negotiate on times. Now they're into the conversation. And another thing to keep in mind, folks, with the calendar, an analogy I sometimes use for the setting up of your initial one-on-one schedule is, it's like moving into a new house and putting all of the dishes in the kitchen cupboards. And then you try and live there. And the first thing you say to your partner is, on Saturday, we are taking the things out of these cupboards and we are moving them. I don't know why I thought the silverware would work here. The silverware is not working here at all. This is in the wrong spot. But until you live in it, you don't know it doesn't work. So be ready for those changes. Allow for those changes in the first few weeks. Planning is everything. Plans are nothing and things are going to change and it's not going to work and your boss is going to change their weekly staff meeting, even though you planned around it, or you're going to be put on a task force for some new something or other, or somebody's kid is going to make All-State band and they're going to have to be ferried to and fro and you're going to have a schedule which needs immediate change. And that's all right. Set the schedule. After a few weeks, allow for some changes based on whether it's working, whether it's not. And that applies for both whether it's working for you and whether it's working for your directs.
Yeah. But also, though, we have the capability to do this. It's quite simple. We're just rescheduling a meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all we're doing.
It'll be a 30-minute meeting. They have a tendency of moving around pretty easily.
Absolutely. And we find that rescheduling doesn't cause pinches in the relationship, so you shouldn't worry about that. You can reschedule as long as you don't cancel.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to move it a little bit. It doesn't have to be, you could move it for 6 weeks and then move it again.
Exactly.
It's not going to hurt anything. It's going to be fine. And maybe some of you are still hung up on the, oh, one of my directs is saying no. Two things. We have a list of podcast reasons that they say no. It's called the Pushback Podcast. Please go listen to those just to prepare yourself in case you're actually worried. Second thing, another podcast, of course. What else would it be? The middleman test. Ask yourself, would you say no to your boss if he asked to start a meeting with you that went 30 minutes every week? Would you say no to that? If you wouldn't,
yeah, don't assume
reasonable to. Yeah, there's that. But also just if you deem it reasonable for your boss to ask for 30 minutes on your calendar every week, perhaps your direct should also deem it reasonable. It seems pretty reasonable, frankly. People just don't like change.
This week, we got two testimonials in back to back. The first one said, I've been a director, someone who uses the program, and I know it was a good experience as a direct and recommend it to others that want a good relationship with their team. Very engaging training. I feel energized for my team. Another person said, very pleased, super engaging and helpful. It gave me hope being a manager is possible. Not only possible, but that I can do it. And that's why we do this training, because we want to make it good for your directs and help you believe that being a manager is possible and possible for you. On the 25th of June, we will be in Portland with our Effective Manager Conference, and on the 26th with our Effective Communicator Conference. Visit managertools.com, look for training in the menu bar, and come visit us in Portland and have the same confidence that Holly and Alice do.
Okay, so now where we are in process is we sent the initial email. They all responded with their chosen times. We sent them a schedule of when everyone's time was. Now it's time to brief everyone with more details about what and how and why we're doing one-on-ones. So we'd recommend you set some time apart in your next staff meeting. We found 30 minutes is plenty of time. So take 30 minutes in your next staff meeting. For those of you that don't have a staff meeting and would like to have one, we have a podcast on how to set up your staff meeting. Or for those of you that don't have a staff meeting and don't think you need one, create a 30-minute meeting for the purpose of briefing your folks on one-on-ones. And again, folks, one-on-ones is a standalone podcast. Go listen to it. Take some notes. Brief your folks on the things that you learned and how you're going to begin to complete or do your one-on-ones.
Yeah, share the slides and the content. Share everything with them that we're sharing with you. More transparency is better. Honestly, more transparency is better. They'll have so many fewer questions. They're so much more likely to meet your expectations if they know your expectations. Please don't make it all up. Don't hesitate. You know, hey, I already have my presentation ready. You can modify the slides. You can, you know, make some edits. You can make some changes. We're not trying to force you to use our stuff. We're trying to save you from
recreation. Let's recreate the wheel.
Right. There's just no reason for you to, frankly, most of you, if you're listening, many of you get paid too much money to be making slides. I just thought about Clippy and Microsoft and AI, and I'm really sad that that's not working out. Anyway, that's not the point. That's not the bad part about PowerPoint. as well as you're doing this, because transparency, more transparency is better, share the one-on-one note-taking form. Like, that is in our tools, downloadable forms portion of the website that can get you started. You don't have to feel that you know everything to make a start on one-on-ones. This is the most effective manager tool in the world. And you don't have to know everything. You and your directs are going to do this together. Have your directs listen to the cast. It will make them better at their part of one-on-ones. We actually have a podcast for them called Preparing for Your One-on-One, where they can learn about what they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's be as transparent as possible for your benefit in this process, also for theirs. If you became a manager and you felt that you were untrained and had to guess at what to do, which I found is compounded
so many people.
For people. Yeah. Yeah. And it's worse when you look around and it looks like other people know what they're doing. They don't.
They don't.
They don't know what they're doing. Here, though, what we're doing is creating a future where your directs don't have to guess.
Right.
And what's, you know, I have a lot of conversations with people because I knew this content before I became a manager.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew.
Yeah, me too.
I never had to guess. It's so nice. And
so nice. I always knew what to do.
Hear stories. Yeah.
How to be good at being a manager. I always knew.
Same. I learned right at university. So I knew, just like you, from the very beginning. And I hear stories of people becoming managers and just it being very fraught with, I don't know what to do. I wasn't trained. I have questions. We can save your directs from that. And as people who didn't have to suffer that, I can tell you, it's delightful.
It is delightful.
Delightful to
it
know
really
what
is.
To do.
There's just a certain, there's a sense of peace that comes with not having to make it all up all the time because you started with at least something.
Yes. And you can focus your brain on the bigger problems, the stuff that you actually need to solve at work rather than how do I manage this work?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So you're mm-hmm. briefing, and the same way that you have questions, mm-hmm. they will have questions.
Exactly.
Let's take the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Stand up in front of your group, answer their questions. The core mindset, folks, about taking questions, what makes people really, really good at taking questions is just being at peace around the issue of what do I say when I don't have a good answer? You're going to not know the answer to everything, I assure you. Your managerial success will never hinge on, do I know the answer to every question I've ever been asked live in front of an audience? No, that's not an expectation that was ever part of the role. All you need to do is say, you know what? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, together. It's fine.
Exactly. And that's fine. And then you send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com after the meeting and say, what's the answer to this question? Please help me so that I know it. And being good at it, being at peace with the answer. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That answer is as much a state of mind as it is a correct response, because it is correct. You actually don't know. And you have to be at peace with it. So stand up, answer questions. That all says to your team that moving forward is important and we can't predict what's going to happen at every turn. And that's okay. We're just going to keep moving.
Absolutely.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week for a continuation of today's topic.